After the bell, it was all about how Alphabet smashed their earnings. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 27th day of April. Thanks, as always, for being with us. In other business news, corn futures are at a nearly eight-year high. Why? We'll answer that. Europeans are buying U.S. wineries. It's the truth. The state of Maine is really charging things up. You know, it's no secret that housing prices are going up, but where in the U.S. are they popping the most? You've got a list. We've got the Wall Street Report, and really, are we honestly headed back to the office? Also for the interview, we've got Jill Wilkins and Jordan McChesney from the upcoming event known as EntreFest. It happens in June. You know, it's not too early to grab your seat in person or virtually. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. Focusandfind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training. To achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at OasisAdvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. Find us at IOB_NewsHour. After hours, trading saw Google parent Alphabet stock rise after the search advertising and cloud technology giant beat Wall Street's first quarter earnings expectations by a wide margin. The Street is reporting that shares of the company were up by 4.6% to $2,397 in after-hours trading. Alphabet reported earnings of $17.9 billion, or $26.29 a share. Analysts surveyed by FactSet were expecting earnings of $15.81 a share on revenue of $51.5 billion. The company said the increases in revenue were driven by elevated consumer activity online and broad-based growth in advertiser revenue. If you were with us last week, we reported that for the first time in years, corn futures were on the rise. Today, MarketWatch is reporting that's part of a broad rally for agricultural commodities that's sort of stoking some inflation fears. There are several drivers behind the price increase, including a strong demand from China. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that China is poised to import from around the world this marketing year 24 million metric tons of corn. Now, that's a huge jump from last year's estimate of 7.6 million metric tons and the previous marketing year's total of just shy of 4.5 million metric tons. So what's driving the China hunger for corn? One of the main reasons is the country is attempting to replenish its hog herds that were decimated during a recent African swine fever outbreak that killed millions of pigs. China's agricultural ministry in February said the country's hog inventory had recovered to 92% of its pre-fever level by the end of 2020 and would be fully back to that level by June of this year. That many hogs? Well, they eat plenty of corn, and that couldn't make U.S. farmers any happier. U.S. corn futures have been on a tear. July corn futures traded as high as $6.84 a bushel today, the highest intraday level for a mostly actively traded contract since March 28th of, get this, 2013. But at the end of the day, corn settled back down at $6.46 a bushel. And we've got this bit of surprising news for you. Today we learned that U.S. wineries are looking very good to European investors. Bloomberg is reporting that recently the French company Société Jacques Bollinger purchased a storied Oregon winery, the Ponzi Vineyards. The Ponzi family, one of Oregon's founding pioneers 50 years ago, became the latest Americans to sell off an historic estate. This high-profile deal is part of a new wave of European vintners seeking toeholds in the U.S., just as some of America's oldest wineries are ready to cash in. In fact, a recent Silicon Valley Bank survey found that almost 50% of Napa and Sonoma wineries are considering selling as a possibility this year. For some regions, including the Sierra Foothills, that's a Zinfandel haven east of Sacramento that was once the epicenter of the gold rush, it is as high as 80% of vineyards willing to cash out. So what happens to American wines once the Europeans take over? Will it influence the style of the wines? Well, the answer is probably. After François Pinault, owner of the first growth Chateau Latour, purchased Napa's Anjou estate back in 2013, the wines? Well, the wines have become more precise and elegant. That's according to the experts. See what you learn here? The state of Maine is charging things up. The Associated Press is reporting that with the installation of a high-speed electric vehicle charging station in North Windham, Maine has completed the first phase of an expanding public network of charging stations. The stations, known as DC fast chargers, can add up to 250 miles of vehicle range in an hour and have been installed at 7 locations across the state. So you might be asking, all right, so who's paying for all this? Well, the chargers were funded by a federal emissions scandal lawsuit against Volkswagen. You know, we've reported often about what's happening to the housing market as prices continue to rise, mostly due to a lack of housing stock and people seeking to move from the urban centers to less crowded areas and maybe even have a yard. But where are the housing bubbles taking place? MarketWatch is reporting that the Emerging Housing Markets Index from the Wall Street Journal and Realtor.com analyzed the 300 largest metropolitan areas across the country. Each housing market was evaluated based on a range of factors related to real estate, economic viability, and, yeah, quality of life. The top growing markets are not necessarily where you might think they would be. For example, topping the list of cities seeing booming prices is Coeur d'Alene. That's a city of some 44,000 people located around the mountains of northwestern Idaho, just across the border from Spokane, Washington. Coming in after Coeur d'Alene was Austin, Round Rock, Texas. Number three was Springfield, Ohio. Number four, Billings, Montana. Coming in at number five is Spokane, Washington. We just mentioned them. Number six is Lafayette, Indiana. Number seven is Reno, Nevada. The eighth most popular place is Concord, New Hampshire. And number 10 is Santa Cruz, California. Now, here is what is amazing about this study. Looking to the top 50 cities in the index, fewer than half were located in the Sun Belt. And of the top 10, only two were in the storied Sun Belt. Investors today were sitting on their hands waiting for the closing bell when a bunch of tech companies and others are going to report their earnings. For the day, the Dow was up by only 3 points to close at 33,984, while the Nasdaq sank by 48 points to 14,090, and the S&P 500 fell fractionally to 4,181. But it was after the bell today when things got really interesting. Shares of Microsoft slipped by 3.5% despite the company posting third-quarter results that topped expectations. As we mentioned earlier, Alphabet stock rose by 4.8% in after-hours trading. Visa shares ticked up by 2.2% after the company reported better-than-expected results for its fiscal second quarter. Starbucks stock fell by 1.5% after the company released some mixed financial notes for the second quarter. Pinterest shares, get this, plunged by 10.3% after the company missed on user growth expectations for its first quarter. Semiconductor company AMD saw its stock climb by 3.3% on better-than-expected results. Snack foods seemed to be pretty popular, as shares of Mondelez jumped by 3.9% on better-than-expected first-quarter results. Tomorrow on Wall Street? Tomorrow should be interesting. And finally, there is this. With all this talk of work from home, the new normal, and remote work possibilities, is anyone really going back to the office full-time? Well, the Wall Street Journal says that it turns out some tech companies are betting that a strong office culture is what will help them recruit and retain the best talent. These companies, such as startup Zest AI, argue that after months on end of being home, workers are happy to return to the office and communicate in person with their colleagues. Some are even offering office perks like free lunches, fitness classes, or even bringing those pandemic pups to work with you. We'll see, right? All right, stay with us, because coming up next, it's a conversation about EntreFest, a two-day session on entrepreneurism, funding, technology, and more. What is it? Who should go? How do you get there? can you attend virtually? My guests are Jill Wilkins, she's the COO of Nuboco, and Entrefest event coordinator Jordan McChesney. Together, we'll explore what the event is, who should come, how you can join from anywhere on the planet. This is something special. Jill and Jordan and Entrefest, just a click away.